Welcome to My Cousin Jane, a podcast about Jane Austen and her works, with your host, Lee Phelan. Hey everybody, welcome back to My Cousin Jane. Today we're going to be taking a look at the deleted scenes and bonus features aspects of Chapter 5 of Persuasion. So jumping right in, one of the things that happens in this chapter is that Anne goes to stay with her sister Mary. Now, Mary's kind of defining characteristic in the novel is that she is a rather surly hypochondriac. And we have a couple of different hypochondriacs in Jane Austen novels. We have Mrs. Bennet, who in Pride and Prejudice always, as Elizabeth says, fancies herself nervous. And she is a type of hypochondriac that anytime she's upset or worried, she thinks she's sick. But Mary is the type of hypochondriac that whenever anything isn't going her way, she imagines up a physical complaint to kind of try to change the situation to bring things back to her advantage. And what's interesting about the prevalence of hypochondriacs in Austen's works is that Jane Austen's mother was kind of famously a hypochondriac. Now, we know that Jane had a really good relationship with her mom and that she had a lot of admirable traits. But one of the things that we know about her is that she was a hypochondriac. So Jane was very familiar with this condition. We don't know if she was a hypochondriac like Mrs. Bennet or like Mary Musgrove, but she was definitely a hypochondriac. So it's just kind of an interesting parallel. But today I want to focus more on Mrs. Clay, because some of the things that happened with Mrs. Clay and the descriptions of Mrs. Clay in the novel just kind of shed some interesting light into the Regency era, the early 1800s. So first of all, let's listen to Sir Walter's early opinion of Mrs. Clay, kind of relayed almost through a narrative structure, but how Sir Walter thinks of her.
Mrs. Clay had freckles and a projecting tooth and a clumsy wrist, which he was continually making severe remarks upon in her absence.
And now let's listen to Elizabeth. So Anne kind of suspects that Mrs. Clay is trying to worm her way into the family and kind of ingratiate herself to Sir Walter. And she's a little worried about this, mostly for Elizabeth's sake. And so she goes to her sister Elizabeth, talks to her about this and says, hey, Mrs. Clay, you know, she's kind of, you know, a concern here. And Elizabeth, this is what she has to say about it.
And as to my father, I really should not have thought that he, who has kept himself single so long for our sakes, need be suspected now. If Mrs. Clay were a very beautiful woman, I grant you it might be wrong to have her so much with me. Not that anything in the world, I am sure, would induce my father to make a degrading match, but he might be rendered unhappy. But poor Mrs. Clay, who with all her merits could never have been reckoned tolerably pretty, I really think poor Mrs. Clay may be staying here in perfect safety. One would imagine you had never heard my father speak of her personal misfortunes, though I know you must 50 times. That tooth of hers and those freckles. Freckles do not disgust me so very much as they do him. I have known a face not materially disfigured by a few, but he abominates them. You must have heard him notice Mrs. Clay's freckles. There is hardly any personal defect, replied Anne, which an agreeable manner might not gradually reconcile one to. I think very differently, answered Elizabeth shortly. An agreeable manner may set off handsome features, but can never alter plain ones.
So, pretty severe on Mrs. Clay, and as we see in the novel, it turns out Anne is right. Her agreeable manner does, in fact, eventually win them over. And this really shows kind of the superficial weight that Elizabeth and Sir Walter place on physical appearance. What's really interesting are the types of physical characteristics that they consider to be defects. And part of this is their own personal pride. And part of it is kind of the attitude during the Regency era and even well into the Victorian age about what constituted physical beauty. So the first thing that they talk about are Mrs. Clay's freckles. And during that time period, because freckles become more prominent with exposure to the sun, freckles were considered kind of like a mark of lower class. Because if you were in the aristocracy, why on earth would you go outside more than you have to, especially without a parasol? And if you're going out that often, you're probably having to go to the market, you're probably having to work in the field, something like that. And so having freckles or sunburn or even a tan during the 1800s was considered less than the ideal beauty. And it's just kind of interesting in contrast to our day. And so because of that, there were lots of skin creams that purported to take care of all of these issues. Freckles, sunburn, pimples, and even suntan were purported to be able to be treated by certain creams. And Sir Walter actually recommends one of these creams later on to Mrs. Clay. Now, one of the other physical characteristics that they point out is a projecting tooth. Now, we don't know exactly what this means. It's probably a tooth that's not perfectly in alignment. So what's really interesting about this is during the 1800s, or rather even a little earlier in the late 1700s, this is where dentistry really starts to come into its heyday, cosmetic dentistry as being a sort of important class distinction. And you can see this because teeth are mentioned in almost all of Jane Austen's novels. They're mentioned in Persuasion, Pride and Prejudice, Mansfield Park, and they become a really important plot point in Emma, with Harriet having to go see a dentist, and that's when she runs into Robert Martin on her way to the dentist in London. There was an article in Modern Philology, which is a periodical that studies language and the history of language. And in 2006, Mark Blackwell talks about Jane Austen's use of teeth, and how when she accentuates someone's teeth as being less than ideal, this is her way of pointing out class distinction. And so Harriet is described as having a tooth amiss. And here Mrs. Clay is described as having a projecting tooth. And in Jane Austen's letters, you can see kind of the use of dentistry as they, in the upper middle class and the aristocracy, would, when they'd go to town, when they would go to shops, part of that kind of metropolitan lifestyle was also, we're going to swing by the dentist and have him fix up this particular problem. Now, I don't know exactly to what extent cosmetic dentistry was a class distinction. And it's interesting because, you know, in the United States, obviously cosmetic dentistry has become almost a staple of middle class and upper middle class life. And so it's just interesting how we'll now accept tans and freckles as being, you know, marks of physical beauty, but we still have kind of this class distinction in our minds about teeth. So it's just interesting how certain styles come and go. And that's actually something that is also talked about in this book, with the old style versus the new style, with the Musgrove sisters, and how they felt that they were more stylish and more genteel than their parents. And that's an attitude that Jane Austen also had, was that subsequent generations tend to be more stylish and had better manners than prior generations. Now, the final physical attribute that Mrs. Clay is kind of is ascribed to her misfortunes is a clumsy wrist. Now, there's a lot of speculation about what this means. Some people think that this means that she simply wasn't good at playing the harp. But what I think it more likely is was a side effect of rickets. So rickets is a disease that's caused mostly by lack of sunlight, sometimes by a vitamin D deficiency, but usually by a lack of sunlight. And while it's probably been around for a while, it wasn't really studied in England until the late 1600s. And the doctors at the time thought it had just emerged. And what's interesting is that they considered the origins of this disease to be in Dorset and Somerset, which, as we know, is where the Persuasion takes place, in Somersetshire. But this disease became so prevalent that by the mid-1800s, some surveys said that 1 in 3 children had symptoms of rickets, or other surveys actually said every child that they surveyed had some mark of having rickets to some degree or another. Now, most of these surveys were done in larger cities, and this is where rickets tended to be more common. And there is a lot of speculation about why that is. Many people think it was simply because of the pollution and smog in those cities, especially in the Victorian era. And so one of the signs of rickets is kind of a swelling of the wrist. And so this could possibly be the cause of the, quote, clumsy wrist that Mrs. Clay had, because it wasn't a petite kind of thin wrist of the Regency-aged lady, but instead the swollen wrist of a lower-class person who suffered malnutrition and had to live under the smog of the big city and was unable to get enough sunshine, and so had developed rickets as a child. Another interesting thing about rickets is that Jon Snow, and you may have heard of Jon Snow if you've studied anything about medicine, he's kind of considered the father of epidemiology and the study of disease and how diseases spread. But he is pretty famous for using statistical analysis and surveys to trace a cholera epidemic in London to, its source at a polluted pump, and there's actually a monument to him in London. But one of the things that's interesting is that subsequent to this, he published a paper saying that he thought the rickets epidemic was tied to bakers in the bigger cities using alum in their rising agents for baked bread, and that people in the more rural areas weren't using this adulterated bread, which is why rickets wasn't as prevalent there. But what's interesting about this is it was actually not backed up by any statistics or surveys. He was just kind of guessing, which is in big contrast to his cholera work. And so rickets was pretty prevalent and a big problem, and nobody really knew for sure what caused it all the way up until World War I, and then people realized it was mostly caused by lack of exposure to sunlight and malnutrition. But primarily, for most people, it was due to lack of sunlight. So whether it was rickets or being bad at the harp or perhaps both, poor Mrs. Clay, with her clumsy wrist, her projecting tooth, and her freckles, is marked out as having many personal misfortunes. Now, what's interesting in the novel is that when they talk about her personal misfortunes, they don't mention the fact that, you know, her socioeconomic background is unfortunate, or her family life with her husband, which we don't know a lot about. That we just know that it was an unprosperous marriage. We're not told anything about that. All that we know about her personal misfortunes from Sir Walter's point of view are the physical characteristics, which is another interesting kind of commentary on Sir Walter's personality. All right, so that's about all the time we have this week.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to help support the show, please head over to leefalen.com/mycousinjane, sign up for our newsletter, or click on the little donate button. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening. Thank you.